It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Howdy, everybody. Happy Sunday to you. And in contrast to last weekend's hello, brr, it's cold out there. Where's my theme song, Ross?
Working on it, man.
Working on it.
Sorry.
Say hello to Ross Cochran, everybody.
Hey, kids.
What's going on? How are you?
I am responding to said computer issue, so everyone imagine.
You do your thing, and we'll talk
about this bit that we talked about previously. What was going on?
The fine folks at home listening. Yes, it is the prelude to Turkey Day, the week before. What do you do, huh, Ross? Do you stop eating now? Do people pull it back a little bit so they can indulge?
Frank, I haven't stopped eating since about the 90s.
So you're the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
Dave, how about you? Do you cut back before Thanksgiving and then kind of just roll into it?
The theory in my parents' house for Thanksgiving Day was that you did not tighten your belt too much around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
And as the meal wore on, if needed be, you loosened the belt until your stomach touched the table. So from your original seated position,
yes,
when your stomach hit the table,
yeah,
it was time to stop eating.
Did you give yourself like a 6-inch marker? What was the expansion rate that
wherever you were comfortable, when you sat down at the table, you ate until your stomach touches the table.
I like that.
Then you're done.
Should we?
Of course, you don't nod out from tryptophan before you get there.
This is true. The old turkey killer. We just wear stretch elastic pants in our family. We would either wear sweatpants or, the ladies in the lower fashion level in the family would wear those expandable, stretchy pants.
Not yoga pants.
Not yoga pants. I'm talking
yoga pants are a whole other subject.
That is grounds for muffin top. For Thanksgiving.
No, that's ground for lots of things.
Yeah, lots of things we don't want to see on Thanksgiving, for Christmas sakes. Anyway, part of that is, staring across that beautiful table filled with delicious delicacies of family tradition. But do you often pay enough attention to the table design? A lot of people don't. They think that, the food does the job, and for most people it does, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, being a designer myself, I like to throw a little something extra into the table or to the counters or the dressers that may, fill the dining room.
You sure anyone other than you is going to notice?
No,
as the designer?
Even if they don't, I feel good about it. I feel like I went that extra mile. And believe it or not, it's a sensory thing. You may not directly pick up on it, but you're feeling the ambiance I've created. Thus, you will eat more and then fall asleep on my sofa.
Frank, to be clear, I don't need any help from your design to eat more.
Right. But I want you to be happy and stylish while you're eating more. How about that?
There you go. That makes more sense.
Because it'll take your mind off of the full feeling that you will have. The uncomfortable feeling. But, I think tablescape is really fun. I like playing with height and dimension and color. And we're bringing in an expert. Oh, I hear a little tune coming in.
My computer finally loaded up properly.
Yeah. We're on a 5-minute delay on the show.
I mean, the good thing is this is rehearsal, right?
Join us tomorrow for today's show. We are talking to award-winning event designer Deborah Lilly is joining us. She's with aperfectevent.com, and we're going to be talking about the cornucopia of ideas for gathering around the table. Debbie is the woman in her industry. She kills it. Her events are fantastic. You can go to her website. Let's see. It's here somewhere. Is it aperfectevent.com? And then she has her own brand. You can check her out on Facebook. She'll be at the Chicago and Flower Show, I believe. Chicago Flower and Garden Show, March 20th, 12th through the 20th at Navy Pier. And then you can get discounted prices now, though. And we're going to be talking about all that and the ways that you could pimp your Thanksgiving table. And I do believe people will appreciate it. I really
Absolutely.
Do. I don't know about you, Ross. I mean, you're all about the food, but I know some people like a little style.
No, it's necessary. It takes it to the next level.
And I will say this. Thanksgiving is kind of the bastard holiday for this. You know, it's like Thanksgiving gets the short end of decor. Holiday
yeah.
decor. Because you go from Halloween, which is such an overly, you know, in some households, decorated event.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit Thanksgiving, and then it's just food. And you maybe get a pop-up turkey, you know,
right.
pin-up, or maybe a couple of leftover pumpkins, gourds, and, like, you know, it just doesn't get any love. Then Christmas comes, and it's like, boom, explosion of color and festive, you know, everything. It's poor Thanksgiving. So we're going to give Thanksgiving some love this year.
I love it.
All right. And then I'm going to tell you about, in my dirty secrets, some ways to kind of calm it down a little bit. Because Thanksgiving can certainly be a stressful holiday, especially if you're cooking and entertaining. Because you're going to end up somewhere at somebody's house. And sometimes you're probably around people you don't really want to be around.
Only once a year for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have some tips on, you know, maybe to calm yourself before the storm, ways to deal and cope. More from just kind of a home and house. But then next week, we're going to follow up with, you know, once you get through Thanksgiving and you've dealt with the psychological barrage of old feelings, memories, and how badly your parents destroyed your life,
right.
Mr. Cochran, we will bring in a psychologist to fix you.
Perfect.
Awesome. And then check this out. So I was watching this documentary a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of like a couple years old, but it was about the New York school system for kids and how to get into these schools was practically like getting into college. And we were talking about preschools in New York and talking about elementary schools. And it's a really big deal. And selective enrollment process. I mean, we have it here in Chicago. You know, I'm not too familiar with it. I live in the burbs, so it's a little different there. But from what I read and, you know, watching this documentary, it's seriously a big deal. So we're going to be talking to somebody who has the inside secrets on surviving Chicago's high school selective enrollment process, which is like legit. There is a vying for these positions, believe it or not, in high school. Eddie Price is going to be joining us. He's the high school placement counselor over at Catherine Cook School. We'll be talking about things like, you know, is it time to consider boarding schools, private schools and their benefits? Do they outweigh the price tag? So we're going to discuss school, and which is inappropriate, Ross, for you, because eventually you'll be dealing with this, as will I. Sooner than you.
You sooner than me.
I'm kind of dealing with it now. It's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have that and a whole lot more. We have some giveaways, Thanksgiving-based giveaways. And if we want to, maybe we'll talk to Mark Carmen if he's in a good mood today.
Yeah, if he behaves.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That's me, folks. Hope you're having a good Sunday, although it is freezing out there. Not a fan of the weather at all. I liked it better last weekend when I said it was like 60-something on Sunday. Oh, man. But I guess it's Chicago. You got to get used to it. It's only been 8 years, and I still won't get used to it. You know what I can't get used to? Vying for position in school. School is supposed to be a fun public activity that shouldn't stress kids out. And for parents, that matter, too. I don't think it should be that. It's serious, but it shouldn't be that serious. Life is way more. There's so much more out there. But, you know, it's one of those things like taxes and death that you almost are inevitable. Kids do have to go to school. There's the whole thing of selective enrollment here in Illinois and Chicago, which is pretty new to me. So I'm excited to learn more about this. Joining me on the phone is Eddie Price. He's the high school placement counselor at Catherine Cook School. Eddie, how you doing?
Hey, Frank.
Good to have you on the show, Eddie. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, Catherine Cook, the main responsibility I have is to, you know, since our school ends at eighth grade, obviously the next step will be for high school. So I help counsel them through the process. Obviously, as you noted before, it's a very big and daunting and complicated process. So I help make sure that I provide the parents and the kids with the right information and help guide them to find the right fit for their next step. So, you know, giving them individualized attention and meeting with each family and helping them come up with a list of options in which will help give them a better chance to land in the right place in ninth grade.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of new to me, the whole selective enrollment process for high school. Talk to me more about this.
Well, for selective enrollment, the big thing is most people in the city of Chicago, you know, as you may know, all of us maybe came up in a situation where 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you know, the main thing you're focusing on is adolescence and going through the different awkwardness of that
period. What sneakers I'm going to wear, what cool T-shirt I'm going to go buy. Exactly. That was my worries.
That's all you're worried about. I mean, you know you're going to high school, but it's not something you're really stressed out about because the next step is just going to happen naturally. You're just going to go to your next step.
Right.
But for most of the students in the city of Chicago, with the neighborhood schools typically not being on par with what the expectations of a lot of parents or high aspiration parents are, the next step you have to look into, okay, so what are the top options for us to look at? And because of that, there's a high demand for a limited amount of spots. So there's 11 selective enrollment schools in the city of Chicago. And, you know, depending on where you're living in the city and if you're trying to get into the top ones that have the high rankings and have the elite status.
And are these private schools or are these public?
These are public schools, but they are selective in that you have to test in. You have to have a certain grades to get in. They have a number system in which everyone's ranked against each other. So obviously, because of that, you know, people are competing against each other for a limited amount of spots, which makes it pretty stressful for the kids.
The whole concept in general, public school is supposed to be
right
for the public. It should be easy. It should be for everyone. That's what tax dollars do, is they pay for these things. Now to hear, and this is new for me because I mean I came to Chicago before I had kids and never even thought about it, never even, you know, read into the school, you know, world here in Illinois. So this is an educational experience for me, and I know it exists out there. I was watching a documentary, I don't know if you've seen this, about New York school districts and what it takes to get into these, starting at preschool and kindergarten, the yep. fight, and I'm sure on a whole older level it's a similar thing. So tell us, I mean, what are some of your tips on getting in, you know, dealing with this and getting into some of these schools?
Well, the best tips is, and most people that are really tuned in, unfortunately, because of the way the situation is, and as parents talk and as people find out, you'll find that some families is having kids as young as 2, 3, and 4 are starting to worry about, okay, how is this all going to pan out? So if you know that, if you have the information in front of you in terms of how the process works and knowing the deadlines, like for instance, for CPS, all the applications are due on December 11th. But really what happens is you have to know that in seventh grade, that is what you're really being evaluated on. Your grades in your four core classes are what they evaluate you on. And then also standardized test scores along with taking the selective enrollment exam in eighth grade. So if you know those basics about what is expected of you, then you know at that point to get your child ready to perform the best of their abilities. And then also just knowing which schools are out there. So going to open houses, getting a list of like when the open houses are and learning up on, you know, the different approaches of the schools.
Yeah.
At that point, and that's something I try to take, to take the lead on at my school. But if for anyone at another school, talking to their counselor and finding out what the process is for those things, that makes things a lot easier because after you know what's in front of you, the process is pretty straightforward.
Right.
It's just that I think the big thing that makes it hard for everyone is just the fact that there is so much at stake.
So much pressure, Ed. I mean, I'm feeling it just listening you talk about it. I can't imagine my son, who's 4 now, having to worry about this, you know, going into high school. I mean, there's so much stress in the world outside of that and what they have to worry, you know, what we and have to deal with as they get older as a parent. I mean, where does that get taken into any kind of consideration, or does it not matter? Has this become a business, you know, so to speak?
In a way, I think the grand scheme of things is that the whole reason for these schools is to provide people in the city, given the neighborhood schools typically are not on par with what the high aspirational parents are looking for. These schools are put in place to give children an opportunity to get public school education that is on par with private schools and suburban schools and things of that sort.
Well, pause for a second there, because you kind of just touched on something that I want to talk about. Yeah. So is this slightly skewed towards privileged individuals or of a higher income bracket? I mean, so tell me if the enrollment process is maybe geared a little bit towards that.
Naturally, it would be because, people with higher income have access to tutoring and, you know, their parents are, you know, coming into it with more education, but they have put in place a couple of things that will even things out. So there's a tier system and there's 4 tiers in the city of Chicago, and they throw in a lot of different factors like socioeconomic status, you know, the education level of the families. So as a result of that, while it's super competitive and you hear the most about for tier 4, which is the highest level, But there are also a amount of spots that are pretty equal that are open to Tier 1, 2, and 3, which allow for people from other areas and from other backgrounds to be able to have those same opportunities to get into those schools. So that is one thing they put in place. I mean, in the past, they used to do it by race, but then they took that out. This is one way to counteract the fact that you don't want all those spots going to people that have advantages and resources and things of that sort. So that's one thing they did put in place to even it out.
Interesting. Eddie, hang on. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then we'd like to talk to you a little bit more about this. I want to talk about private schools is there a benefit to going and paying the high price sometimes? Engaging your child in the school choices. I want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Eddie Price. He's the placement counselor over at Catherine Cook School and an expert in this. If you have questions, folks, we'd love to hear them. If you have any comments on this, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can also text those questions in. We'll get him over to Eddie if you want to speak to him live. That's also great, too. All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Testing, testing, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
He's the go-to guru for great design ideas.
Not that there's anything wrong with us.
He's edgy. He's in your face.
The lead designer and host of HGTV's Design on a Dime.
Hey, that's me, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. Thanks for hanging out. We're here till 3 o'clock. And then you can always find me online on all these sorts of social media, something called Facebook. Have you heard of it? You can find me there, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram, I do a lot more fun pictures and family stuff. You like my Instagram account there, Ross?
Yeah, you are. You're more of an Instagram guy.
I am. Yeah, but I link them, so you won't miss it if you don't follow me anywhere else.
But, right. But Frank's people. Frank's people take care of his Facebook and his tweets.
I have so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we're getting some interesting text. We're talking to Eddie Price. He's the high school placement counselor over at Catherine Cook. He helps kids go from 8th grade on to high school and transition, find the right place. We're talking about the selective enrollment process. And to me, this is just a bit of an interesting subject, and it's also tapping a nerve with some of our listeners. We're getting some texts in that I just want to read because I think there's a lot of different opinions out there. This is coming in from the 773. As an adult, I made a conscious choice to not have kids. For those who do, God protect you, peer pressure and substitute child rearing never made me want kids. The money, immoral nature, and selection made it so. Life is free. People are not. I have to agree, as strong as that is of a statement, I have to agree. There's a ton of pressure, and having a kid in today's world, and you'll learn this, Ross, real soon, is not easy. It is not like it used to be when we grew up, and I'm not that old. Even the generation before me was even probably more blessed in ignorance to not know and not have the pressures. Things like Common Core. Eddie, right. are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Eddie, let's talk a little bit about Common Core, because this is a real hot topic in my home, just because we're learning more about it. Our son currently goes to a Montessori school, just as a preschool, and then we're debating after that, what do? Do we send him to a public school, and he's got to deal with this, what people are demonizing is called Common Core. Tell me about it.
Well, with the Common Core, not an expert level of mine, because we don't have to fight with it as much. But I do know that generally for the schools that do use it, and especially public schools, that there's a certain standard of things that they have to cover in their curriculum at all times, and they have to make sure that they're tested on it and things of that sort. So the great thing I think about it from my standpoint as a private school is that the teachers, although there are standards that they have to be held to, they have the free rein to develop their own curriculum and do it in the way they'd like to do it. So even, with a few of my colleagues at my school, Catherine Cook, one person might use gaming, one person might be more freelance, and one person might do more structured aspect. But in all ways, they all end up very prepared for high school. So that's one major advantage, I would say, for private school, in that the teachers have the free rein to not be held to a standard or to have to cover certain things and then have to do testing two or three times a year. So I would say that's one major thing I've noticed in talking to teachers from both sides and the stress of having to cover that stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's one thing that I think with private schools that you don't have to be as focused on. And even why.
Which is the Common Core issue, right?
Yes.
How do you feel, about Common Core yourself? What's your opinion on it?
I think the idea of it and the purpose of it is definitely well-intentioned and it's good, and that you want to make sure that.
But really, is it the purpose of it to kind of stack and organize? our future, and what I mean by that is our children, that the government wants to have everybody in a box, and by giving them a certain way to learn, basically relearning how to learn. I mean, the way we were taught to count and apparently isn't the way our children are going to be taught to count. I don't see anything wrong with the way we were taught, and I'm not against change by any mean, but you got a kid who's halfway through his school life, all of a sudden saying, okay, sorry, we're going to teach you a new way to learn.
Right.
That's very unfair, I think, and I think in the bigger picture that this is just another way to segregate people's personalities, a level of intellect, to know in the future where everyone's going to be boxed. Am I so wrong by saying that?
No, I don't think you're far off on that, because I think in the end, although the intentions were good, that is what happens. I've learned one thing to teach that kids learn in different ways. So if you try to box them into one way, that may work for one student, but it may not work for another. And if you don't have a lot of flexibility there, that's where you don't get the results and the standards that you want. So as a result of pushing this down on people, you do have a lot of gaps here, and it does kind of train a student to think a certain kind of way that may not be, it may be in the grand scheme of things, it may be good for applying to the real world. But, in a lot of ways, things could be missed. And if you're not flexible with that, you won't get a student that's going to learn the things that you want them to learn.
Right. Hey, we got some text flying in, Eddie, and I'd love to read them for you. If you got a question for Eddie Price, he's a high school placement counselor, can answer your questions if you're in this situation or know somebody is who's looking, to get placed in the right school and wants to know the process. We're here to help you. 312-981-7200. And Eddie, please don't take offense to the text, but I'd like to give my guest the opportunity to respond. This is coming from 773. Your guest is soft pedaling. If you have two kids, the older one gets into a selective school. The second child receives no preference to get in. Two kids, two schools, two start times, two end times, two conferences with teachers. Unsustainable. I moved into the suburbs instead of navigating the system for 12 years. What do you feel about that?
It's unfortunate because that is one thing about the selective enrollment process. I had a situation 2 years ago where I had twins at my school, and they both took the same test, and one got into the school that they wanted and the other didn't. It's completely – I mean, it's good that you don't have human error and subjectivity put in where, there's any type of preference. But the bad part is that because it's so numbers-based, there is no consideration of an older sibling or a twin or, what kind of kid – what kind of extracurriculars you do and things of that sort. So you will have a situation where you might get one kid – one child into a school, and then your next child may or may not be able to get in that school. And I think that is unfortunate. That is unfair as to how that process works. While if you're dealing with private Catholic boarding schools, things of that sort, there's always going to be special preference taken into account for that, because they do want they take into account, the package deal and taking care of the families and things of that sort. So
yeah, and I guess if you're in the school districts where you have to deal with selective enrollment process or Common Core, I mean, God bless you. Mm-hmm. I think that's a tough thing to do, especially if you have multiple children that have to deal with this. Ross, you're a future father. You got a question here?
Yeah, Eddie, I'm curious, because this is I'm having a baby next month,
okay.
I'm right at the beginning of this process, quite literally.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But how I was very involved in my own college search process. I was 18. I was looking for something that I wanted. For a seventh grader, how involved should the child be in the parent's stress?
I think that a seventh grader should be very involved, but you have to take into account we're dealing with 11 or 12-year-olds. So I think the parent should definitely handle the information gathering and the guiding. I've had some students in seventh, eighth grade really lead the process and do a good job of going into schools and looking for, what type of school do I like? Do I like big or small? Do I like a school that is strong in technology or strong in this area of math? And they can make pretty good choices as to what they like and what they feel comfortable in what atmosphere. But I think that the parent does have to support that process, and that you don't want – often kids are going to kind of regress back to the mean in terms of where are my friends going. If everyone's talking about this school, I'm going to feel the pressure to go there. Or, okay, I've only known this school down the street, so I think I want to go there also. And I think the parent does have to support that process also and kind of say, okay, well, what will be the best fit for my child, and give them maybe two or three to choose from that will fit the standards or the result that you're looking for. And then it's very possible that I see a lot of parents let the seventh grader make the choice in terms of the school that they feel most comfortable for. But maybe 11th grader would be a little bit more equipped to make a little bit more of a this is where I want to go, and this is because of things. So you have to really take into account that a 12-year-old only has limited ability to make a strong decision.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, Eddie. It's an interesting topic. You got your hands full over there, and certainly good luck to you. Where can people find more information about you?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to email me at eprice, and that's P-R-Y-C-E, at ccookschool.org, and that's C-C-O-O-K school.org. You know, feel free to shoot questions my way. I'd be glad to help people out. I know it's a big process, and a big part of it is just knowing. You know, once right. you know, I think it's a little bit easier to navigate.
Excellent. Eddie, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You got it. Well, there you have it, folks. Interesting. I mean, my whole thing on this, Ross, is this. I'm a big believer in The Matrix. You see the movie?
I did.
I think that exists on some level, you know, and the government is the operating system. And if you don't play with the program, you know, it doesn't always go your way, you know. So I think that, you know, for me and my kids, and I don't know if you're going to follow the same path, but at any age, if my son wants to take a direction that's creative, that's not part of the matrix, not part of the system, and he wants to do something that's different and go to a different school or just maybe take music or, you know, art or whatever it is that's not part of Common Core. It has to be anything that has the word common in it. I'm not a fan of, to be honest with you, you know, and it's so unfortunate that kids in this public school district are forced to be taught in this method or, you know, to be a part of it. Maybe I'm just thinking crazy, but I'd rather pack up, go live on a beach in Maui somewhere, you know, take all the money I would have spent on placing my son somewhere and have a private instructor teach him about life and a little bit of math. How about that?
I mean, I'd be down for being your kid and going and living in Maui.
Come on,
but
man.
That's about as far as I could take what you're saying. No, I think
my
a
wife,
lot
Sherry,
of...
My wife Sherry will just, you know, burp you and stuff. And I'm not going to say change your diaper,
weird.
But yeah.
No, but I think a lot of parents share frustration, and hopefully people like Eddie can get better about explaining, because I think the number one thing that people are dealing with is a negative perception.
Right.
That they're not even going to give any good people like Eddie or
And I'm just giving my opinion of, I'm not saying Common Core is a bad thing for other people. Listen, it takes everything, you know, different strokes for different folks. And I'm just saying for me, I just don't like anything that is kind of like you got to have this group, herd mentality of learning and, you know, I know for me, because I experienced it, I didn't love every class, everything I was taught. As a matter of fact, I rebelled. And if you didn't, if you could honestly sit here and tell me and call me right now and say I loved every aspect of school, you're lying, you know.
Right.
But you're forced to continue learning, forced to, you know, stay with the program. Or what's the option?
Yeah.
You become a nobody in society.
Sure.
And that's just not cool with me. So... Anyway, until we figure it out, we'll keep the conversation going. Coming up after the break, I'll be sharing some of my dirty secrets on how to have a calm, heartful Thanksgiving. I need some of that right now. We'll be right back, folks. My dirty little secret. It's time for my dirty little secrets, or this week's dirty little secrets, brought to you by House.com. It's tips for a calm, heartful Thanksgiving. And, you know, a lot of Thanksgiving could be stressful to some people. You got to kind of ease into it. And during the process, after process, ways you can kind of keep yourself level-headed besides alcohol and drugs. Hopefully not, you know, legal drugs is what I mean. Ross, do you cook? Do you guys, like, who does the family events in your house?
My grandmother does the Thanksgiving. She has ever since we met her about 10 years ago. So she's on Thanksgiving every year. My aunt usually hosts Christmas and my mom usually does Easter. So I do not cook. I've been explicitly told
you don't even have a side that you make
out of the kitchen. No, no. My Thanksgiving is one of those families where if you like go into the kitchen and you're not supposed to be in the kitchen, you get thrown out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Who bounces? There's got to be is grandma bouncers?
Yeah, no, my grandma who listens to Debbie Jan on a regular basis. Yeah, no, she has a cane that she just hits people with.
Nice.
Yeah,
keeps it right on standby. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, my grandpa did. He did a lot of cooking when he was around, and he used to keep this little the things you got away with back in the day. He used to keep this like bamboo
right.
whipping cane.
Right. Exactly.
Specifically meant to smack our hands as we reach for a piece of Italian bread to dip in the sauce, because us Italians actually have pasta on Thanksgiving too.
Right.
So on top of turkey and everything else.
Well, it's still a day that ends in Y.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so here's some tips on how you could stay calm throughout this holiday season. Let go of perfection. That's a big one, you know, because everybody, you know, so much pressure to do it right. You got everybody in the family, Coven, Aunt Margie, who's a big critic, you know, loves a good time, but she will certainly be the first one to go back and, you know, say, oh, did you taste Susie's casserole? It was a little off this year. A little off. But you know what? That's when you got to say, let it go. Just like the great movie Frozen that I've watched 3,000 times. Let it go.
Yeah.
If you do that throughout the process and just give it your best, and maybe it didn't come out perfect, or maybe the table setting isn't great, which we'll help you with in a few minutes, where Debbie Lilly's here, it's okay.
Yeah.
Go into it with that attitude. It's okay. I'm doing my best. Set a simple table, which is in contradiction to our next segment, but if that stresses you out, don't do it then.
Yeah, I think that's more what the tip is suggesting, is don't try to put on this grand thing. And then,
especially if people know you, that's not you.
Have it's servers like, with white gloves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you.
Yeah.
And I think that'll work. And, you know, but I'm certainly one to push boundaries. Like, I love the idea. If this year you're like, I'm going to go for it, then revert to tip number one, which is stay calm
right.
And let it go.
Right.
Tip number three, prepare as much as possible ahead of time. So if you're a newbie to Thanksgiving or any major holiday, this is a big one. You want to make sure that you do as much prep. I got to say, my wife is good at this. She will spend an evening before, unlike my sister-in-law, who just waits to the moment before to actually prep everything and lets people wait 4 hours to eat. We are the total opposite. We're good entertainers, I would have to say this. I'm going to pat myself on the back. We definitely think of our guests first. Like, we will go above and beyond. And a lot of that's capable because – impossible because – my wife stays up and preps
right
before. So prep is everything.
Prep is everything.
Number four, enjoy a moment to yourself before your guests arrive. And this
huge.
Huge. You need to go into a room, grab a glass of wine, take a deep breath, put your favorite song on, get yourself into the mode.
In fact, if you have people coming over right now, we suggest you go into a room.
Go into a quiet room.
Leave the radio on.
Take your iPhone, download the WGN app, listen to the show right now live. And let's take a moment.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. And let it out. Feel better already.
I do.
Yeah. So do that. I mean, and trust me, you're going to love this. It's going to help change your Thanksgiving. And anytime you're feeling that, like everyone's getting to you, excuse yourself. Say you got to go to the little lady's room and run upstairs and take that glass of wine. And again, deep breath. All right, this is a fun and I think efficient idea. Set up a drink station outside of the kitchen.
Oh, totally.
So if you have a buffet in the living room, that's a good place for it, a little nook somewhere outside of the kitchen, just because the kitchen could then become very congested.
Yeah.
And the tensions will rise and, you know, people start getting their fingers in things that they shouldn't do. So that's a good tip right there, is set up a server. You can make it creative and cute, you know, theming it in your own way. And if you have a teenager who's mature enough to handle drink making, it's always fun that somebody's there actually aiding that, you know, or creating, you know, manning the station, we call it. Number six, stick with easy appetizers. That's definitely a stress saver right there. You know, when people go nuts with the appetizers, and because there's, you got to think, but Thanksgiving is not about the appetizer; it's about that monster main course.
Yeah, right?
You want to go nuts on that. So you could use that excuse to not make a ton of appetizers, or if you do, make them protein-based. Leave the carbohydrates out of the appetizer.
Oh, sure, because so you're like, about to have more carbs than you'll have all year.
And you don't want your guests to fill up, because then they're not going to really appreciate your main course that you spent days preparing.
Sure, that makes sense.
Listen to our tips. And so what could that consist of? Maybe a supersod plate or a meat plate, you know, Italian sausages and slices and all that kind of
stuff. Italian heritage.
Hey, I mean, that's what I do. That's what I know. But you could do another way. I mean, just stay away from the carbs for appetizers. Number seven, take mindful breaks throughout the day. Again, going back to our tip number five, I think that's always important, just to either walk outside. You know, my household, we like to just go out and smoke a stogie, you know, in between, take a little break. Chit-chat about the day's events, about what people are wearing. Can you believe what they said? That kind of thing.
Which we'll get into more next week.
Right, exactly. All right, number eight, pick your favorite cooking task and accept help from all the rest. So if you, like, in our family, my mother-in-law makes these things called sfingis, which they're like dough balls that she deep fries and then puts powder. But, like, every holiday she makes them and people, you know, she gets the kids to kind of chip in and, you know, make the dough because it's something you got to do fresh if you want to do it right.
Yeah.
So that's always a fun thing to do. So if you have a dessert, I would preferably say, where, you know, you can get some of the young kids involved and engaged and maybe some cookie making, it's always a good idea.
Yeah, so then they don't wind up like me and being completely useless on the holiday.
Or bored and then they start fighting.
Oh, that's yeah.
That was our... As soon as we were done with the turkey, me and my four boy cousins, who were all the same age, would clear my grandparents' living room, move the coffee table over, leave the rug, and we'd have WrestleMania 23, you know, jumping off sofas and stuff. But if we were engaged and somebody said, hey, we're going to make cookies, I don't think we would have done that. Or we would have done it after we made the cookies.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Number nine, get folks out of the house while the turkey cools or the turkey cooks, which I think you should do both because sometimes people get a little touchy with that turkey. Well, it's cooling. That's not a bad tip. I get the folks out of the house. So what do you do if it's cold like today? I'm not going to kick people out, though. We have a little porch people can go on. Anyway, number 10, pause before digging in. Say a little, you know, whether it's a prayer or grace or just what you're thankful for. I think that's always important, not just on Thanksgiving, but we do it every night at our table.
Love that.
I'll tell you that. All right, folks, we are going to take a break. The news is coming up right after that. And, you know, on our Thanksgiving topic here, we're going to tell you how to set the table in style with Debbie Lilly.
Frank Fontana.
There it is. I was waiting for that song, Ross. I know you dug deep for that one. It's good stuff right there. Who is that? Is that Weird Al? Is that from your personal collection?
Yeah, no, this is me. No, it's literally called Turkey Time, a silly song for kids.
Awesome. It's good stuff. Got to remember that one. It is turkey time anyway, and I don't know about you, but I like doing a little bit more of a to-do when it comes to my table, and I know the person sitting next to me really loves to go crazy. Debbie Lilly is here. She's the chief eventeur, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, parfait.
Of aperfectevent.com. Good to have you, Debbie.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. We were just talking off air about all your escapades and how many tables you've set thus far for Thanksgiving. And what is that number?
Lucky number 13.
13 tables you've set so far. None of those are your own.
None of those are my own. And it's not even Thanksgiving week yet. Well, right. Today it is.
Yeah, I guess today would, Monday would kind of be official. But yeah. So what is this time of year like for you? Because you got Christmas coming up for you and you're a, you know, big shot event designer and let's go over some of your credits here because you got a pretty big resume. You've been doing work for Oprah Winfrey, some of the big celebrities that come in town like Lady Gaga. Tell us about all that.
It's all very fun. This time of year is my favorite. Yeah. If you love dressing a table, if you love doing flowers, this is the season. You know, no one gets more festive than they do for the holidays. And it's just like being elves in a workshop is how we all describe ourselves. It's really exciting.
How do you get people motivated who typically just look at food as the core for this? Because I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard, that to me, Thanksgiving is like the middle child of the holidays because it doesn't get as much love decor-wise as a Halloween May or Christmas May. So it's sandwiched in between two highly decorated holidays. Then comes, oh, here's Thanksgiving. Let's just go eat. How do you inspire somebody to get excited about decorating for Thanksgiving?
To me, Thanksgiving is all about the bounty of the season. And so everything from flowers to all of the produce right in the produce aisle becomes such an instant, easy, fast DIY decor. And the world is so DIY now. It's all about what can I do quickly? What can I do affordably? What can I do myself?
Right.
And so to me, it is an easy holiday to dress up because you don't have to go out and get all of these decorations per se. You're at the grocery store already. You can grab some beautiful flowers, hydrangeas. orangia, for example, are so big and round and full. You could just put some of those real simply down your table in glass bottles. You could do pumpkins. You know, there's all the beautiful baking pumpkins. And then there's the little teeny tinies.
The gourds.
Squash. All of these things look so beautiful on a table, really just lined up, if you will. We did a show on WGN Morning News just the other day, and we had $25 to set the entire table. Tablecloth, silverware, glasses, plates, and decor. And we did it, and it was beautiful.
I'd love to see. Is it posted somewhere online?
It sure is. Thank you for asking. It's on our website, and then it's also on WGN's. And what we did was we bought bags of apples, pears, and clementines. So those are $2 a bag. You get about 10 fruit in each. So if you think of it, that's 30.
Are they dual purpose, or are they solely for the purpose of decor?
This was solely for the purpose of decor, but think of what you could do with that fruit salad the next day.
I was going to say, or you buy the cheaper, maybe, you know, non-organic fruit for that type of thing.
Yes, that is the non-organic at $2 a bag.
I was going to say, because what I buy is more like $7 a bag.
Yes. Well, you're being healthy when you're putting it on the table and not eating it, only have a little bit to work with.
That's the tip I was trying to get out there, is that buy the cheap stuff, folks, for the decor.
Absolutely. Good tip.
And so, all right, was this something that you were born with? Like, were you the girl who annoyed her mom all the time to say, "Mom, let me do the table," or, you know, "Let me, you know, take over this year"? How did this start for you?
This absolutely is in my blood. My grandmother, actually my great-grandmother, was an incredible hostess. Then my grandmother, my mother. My mother makes everything. Every occasion so beautiful and so special. And I grew up with all of these women literally at their hip, learning the story of, you know, this china pattern that came from great-great-auntie. And I just really couldn't wait to be able to do it myself in my own home for my own family. You know, my daughter's here with me today. She is just the same in that she really loves entertaining.
Yeah.
To me, it's such a gift to be able to make whatever occasion there is the happiest and the most beautiful it can be for someone. And that really makes me feel just so inspired every day to get up and do it again, no matter what the occasion is.
And I think you're touching on something that's lost in this, you know, technological world we live in. You know, the idea of the gathering, the idea of the party, the idea of you telling the story of standing next to your grandmother, now your daughter standing next to you. You know, that's the special connection here that I think we need to get back to in our society. And what you do, in a way, does that for people. And so I think put in that vein, it's really something that everybody should kind of think about as you're, you know, prepping and planning your Thanksgiving, your Christmas, is how can I engage the next generation? Because we don't want them to lose these skills.
I couldn't agree more, and I talk about this all the time. On our website, we have so many click and print downloads that are free. For Thanksgiving, we have crossword puzzles that the kids can print off and put at each play setting, and they all hunt and find words. We have all kinds of colorful placemats that they can color in and put at each play setting.
And these are things that you test in your home, I'm sure, right?
We do, and they're all free. You know, they cost no money. Just jump online. To me, the holidays, like every day, we need to work on unplugging the kids and getting them at the table, just as you said, and connected to families and building traditions, because that was such a huge part of my life growing up, and I see it really diminishing in the new generation.
It's sad. It really is. So
this is a really easy way to do it. So easy, right in your own home, click, print, and there's so many things that the kids can do. Even if you don't want to do that, the kids can be in charge of putting the, you know, pumpkins and the decor and the fruit and the candles and so forth on the table. They can be making all kinds of wonderful recipes. They can be working on the flowers, since we're here to talk flowers.
Yeah, if you make it fun. I mean, that's really, you know, what I think will get the kids engaged. We're talking to Debbie Lilly from A Perfect Event, and you're going to be at the Chicago and Flower Show, which we'll talk about. We have to take a quick break, and as soon as we come back, we're going to get into some real, you know, table-topping conversation here and how to engage florals and different, maybe non-traditional elements into your table decor as well.
Yes.
All right, folks, so we're going to take a quick break. And hey, this week in Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot gobble up some of the best turkey dishes in Chicago. Tune in to see Chicago's Best Turkey. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family from the folks at Walt's Family Home Food Centers. And a special, warm, heartfelt thank you to all the loyal customers who have made Walt's their store. Now, if you haven't shopped at Walt's, isn't it time to give Walt's a try? You'll find all Walt's stores are sized just right and are conveniently organized for fast and easy shopping. At Waltz, the simple ideas of freshness, cleanliness, and friendliness never go out of style. Just the way it should be. And you'll be pleased with Waltz prices, their quality, and their unmatched personal service. Come find out why so many families shop only at Waltz family-owned food centers in South Howland, Homewood, Tinley Park, Frankfort, Crete, Beecher, and Dyer, Indiana. This Thanksgiving would be a great time to give Waltz a try. Waltz, a tradition of grocery excellence for 78 years.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. When I played the Beaver on TV, I often got into trouble without even meaning to. Well, years later, after I left Hollywood, I got into real trouble. My blood sugar was through the roof. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. And today, you can try this fast and easy solution without risk. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to 11mathers.com for your free video. That's 11mathers.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to 11mathers.com now.
So you've been talking about Christmas and ordering your Anderson's chocolates early to make sure you get what you want when you want it. But why the enthusiasm and urgency? Well, Anderson's is a local fourth-generation candy maker with shops in Richmond and Barrington, Illinois, and they make the best chocolates in the country. Just ask the Los Angeles Times and Consumer Digest with over 60 varieties, including the best salted caramel. That's my wife's favorite, salted caramels. If I want anything to happen in the house, I bribe her with salted caramels. Snapper, buttercreams, and toffee you ever had, order by phone 888-214-7614 or order online at andersonscandyshop.com. And first-time web customers get a discount. Anderson helps your company look good, too. See Anderson's Give Back boxes to customers, employees, or friends. They'll see right on the box that 25% of your gift goes to the Family Health Partnership to help uninsured neighbors. I thought that was illegal to be uninsured these days under the Obama thing. When you send one Anderson's Towers or gift baskets, you're treating the eye and the tummy. Both Anderson's get booked fast, so go to andersonscandyshop.com, call 888-214-7614, or in person, reserve your Anderson's chocolates today because for 96 Christmases, when it's Anderson's, nothing beats these treats. Oh, good times, good times. I know my sister-in-law is listening, and we love you, even though you cook late. But not this year, you won't, now that I made it public. All right, we are talking to Debbie Lilly, the chief eventor of aperfectevent.com, and you're going to be appearing at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, right?
I sure am. One of my favorite places to be in the winter months. March. Yeah. Aren't we all dying for some flowers and some sunshine and some spring?
Agreed. And we just kind of got here and I'm already over it.
Right. I couldn't agree more. So the flower show to me has always been like the first beautiful breath of spring in Chicago.
Yeah. And I can't wait for the show. We're going to be giving away some tickets, actually. And Ross, you're in charge of that. So you deal with how we're going to give them away. What are we going to do here?
I think we should just go callers. Make it simple. Who wants all to right. go? Who wants... Who
the 720th
taste?
Caller.
Wow. I mean,
is that too
I
many?
Saying,
you think?
Yeah, like probably seven, not 720.
The seventh caller?
Yeah. I mean, we got six pairs of tickets to give away, right?
All right, let's do it. 312-981-7200 is the number. We'll also take your call as well if you have a question for Debbie and you want to know how to do maybe a nice tablescape on a budget for Thanksgiving, how to incorporate flowers into it. Debbie is an expert in that. And go ahead and let it go, folks. 312-91-7200. The phone lines are lighting up right now. If you have an interesting tip that you want to give our listeners to, we'd like to hear that, too.
There you go.
Maybe get yourself a prize. All right, Debbie, so let's break it down here. Where do you start for Thanksgiving?
You start with your table, and depending if it's round or long, for a long table, you generally do a linear collection, you know, something that fills lengthwise, like a big line down the table. For a round table, something that's more of a circular centerpiece.
Right.
And we find, again, if you want to talk flowers, people get really worried that they're not a professional florist. How do they make it look gorgeous? To me, even right in your grocery store, you can grab beautiful blooms, big mums, big hydrangea, big roses. There's even peonies out already,
sure,
thanks to climate change, unfortunately. And those
are one of my
are
favorite flowers, by the way.
Everyone, yeah. Everyone's favorite flower is peony. It's incredible.
Wonder
and
why?
So, because I think they're just so beautiful, and also they're usually quite rare. You only have them for a few months a year. So these are flowers that are so simple to buy, cut, and put into something like a bottle, you know, a wine bottle, a glass bottle. Think of all the extra empty bottles we have around, and you can make such a gorgeous collection.
Especially this time of year with all the drinking that's going on.
That's right. Save all those bottles, recycle, repurpose,
right.
Go green.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
And it's even fun to show the labels on wine bottles. We have a lot of clients who are big beer aficionados or anything like scotch or brandy. You can keep all the beautiful paper wrap on and just put water inside, rinse them out, obviously. Put water inside,
right.
And that shows off your personality and your style when it's something personal that you collect or you love.
Got it. Now let me ask you a question, because I'm visualizing as you're talking. I mean, being a designer is what I do, and you know. But I think about the people who want to do this, but either it's a money concern,
yes,
you know, that it could be too expensive. B, the pressure. You know, you go on Pinterest, you go on Houzz and all these beautiful websites that post all these, like even yours, you have beautiful photos of these. Do you find that for some women or males who decorate, it's intimidating to do it?
Absolutely. Very much so, which is why I think people can get inspired looking at something simple and not fearing like they have to create something really
elaborate. Like you don't
elaborate.
Have to be Martha Stewart to pull this off.
You do not. Martha Stewart is wonderful. We do a lot of Martha's events, but I even myself am always breaking it down and making it more simple because that's my style. And people worry that they have to create something that's not their style, that it has to be very elaborate or expensive, but it should really be something that's your personality turned into a creation on the table. And it can be so simple, but people fear that that wouldn't be right. Much like cooking.
Yes.
You know, I always say you do not have to cook everything from scratch. Buy pies at
semi-homemade.
Your favorite bakery. Semi-homemade is where it's at, especially on a holiday, any of the holidays, when you're entertaining lots of people. Make it easier on you. Think of what can make it easier and do that instead of worrying that it has to be something else.
Agreed. And how about height on a table? I like to play with depth of field and height. And this is something people kind of overlook when it comes to decorating a table. Like you mentioned earlier, the simple would be, you know, throwing a couple flowers and some fruits and stuff like that. But how do you, to me, drama comes in that, in height and dimension and size.
Couldn't agree more. So the perfect way to dress the table is always at the eye level or below. Let's just make that even more simple. Below eye level.
So sitting or standing?
Because you want to be able to talk. Sitting.
Okay,
when
so
you're
sitting at
sitting
the table.
At the table, here's an easy tip is put your elbow on the table and where your hand falls, that's how high something should be. Let's do it right now.
That was my
see
thump
how we
my
can
elbow.
See each other
yes.
perfectly? You don't want anything at eye level because then people can't talk to each other and enjoy. So something like a wine bottle with a hydrangea.
Right.
Cut that hydrangea so it sits right at the top of the bottle. No stem between the top of the bottle and the flower. And poof, you have an instant easy centerpiece.
Or strategically create a couple throwaways that are higher that block the eye contact in case you don't want to sit next to drunk Uncle Louie who is going to talk to you and flirt with you all day.
True.
So
true.
Keep some of those in your arsenal.
Now, I love your depth of field. What's really important, too, is having some different heights on the table. So you could do some wine bottles, some soda bottles, like Goose Island, you know, local soda, local beer, that height. And then some really low, beautiful candles. They call them votive candles, real short on the table. Then you have all these different heights. But think about it. Everything we just mentioned is right from the grocery store and so accessible and affordable. You're already going to the grocery store anyway. You know, look at that floral department. Think of it as a place that can have some really great tools for you on a budget very quickly.
I've used before old wine boxes.
Ooh, love wine crates.
And
love, love.
Cigar boxes too.
And do you know, I'm sure you do, do all of you listening know that you can get these items free?
Yep.
If you call it Binnie's, you can say, hi, I need some wooden wine crates. I do it all of the time. They're free. They're getting rid of them anyway. Same with cigar boxes at cigar stores.
Most are free. Some of the higher end ones charge a buck or something like that.
And how easy is that?
I have literally two bins in my attic of old cigar boxes that I break out for various.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and I just keep them. One day I'm going to make my dream, if I'm going to confess, Debbie, is to have an entire wall in one of my rooms or my man cave or anything
I
that
love
is
it.
All covers of old cigar boxes throughout
the world. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
I'm just collecting. I'm a slow collector.
Well, and you know, wine crates are really cool to break down and turn into serving boards.
Yes.
Because they have the beautiful imprinted, you know, branded winery on them.
And
love
they're stressed typically, what little weathered, and it kind of gives character. And what do you feel about everything having a story? Like, because I'm all about, as a designer, I want there to be a story to everything I do.
I agree.
In terms of the design.
I feel so strongly about that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because so many people, especially over the holidays, worry that everything has to match. They don't have china for 12. What are they going to do? To me, everything should not match. It should be much more collected. You know, I mentioned my great-grandmother, my grandmother. We love mixing and matching things that are special to you. If you don't have enough for your group coming over, have your friend bring over some of hers. Everything should have a purpose, and like you said, story. We design a collection that's sold in Jewel here in Chicago, Safeway, Albertsons all over the country, and it's a collection of decor items that are right in the grocery, hundreds of items, flowers, vases, candles, you name it, and I'm designing everything around family heirloom pieces so they even have a story.
Smart.
And they remind me of things that I grew up with and I set the table with as a young girl. To me, that's what people want, is something that looks collected. You know, even if it's new, even if it's from the grocery store, you want it to look like it is a collection and is a piece of your family's history.
Agreed. And it's a sign of the design times.
Yes.
Is the time-worn kind of historic element to design that you're seeing a lot in the farmhouse and the industrial. So it's a huge movement, and I think it's here to stay.
I couldn't agree more. They're classic. Classic pieces.
Deb, I wish we had a ton more time. You're fantastic. You could see Debbie live at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show coming up in March, right?
Absolutely. And we're going to do a big, beautiful display. You know the theme next year? Have you been...
Please, let's drop it on the show right now.
It's so cool. It's Chicago Is. Nice. Hopefully that wasn't a secret.
It isn't now.
We are doing something really cool. You know, you have these big tables that you set. All the designers set a tablescape, and we're doing Chicago Is the 1933 World's Fair.
Cool.
Lily helped to Google the year for me before we came on air. So we're going to have windows looking out onto Chicago in 1933.
All the more reason to get your tickets early. You can go to the website, which is to get your ticket.
You can go to chicagoflower.com.
Chicagoflower.com.
You can go to debbielilly.com, and we'll help get your tickets.
We'll all link you there. Fantastic. You can find Debbie on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You're all over, right?
All the places.
Debbie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday to you.
The show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. We're here till 3 o'clock, and then we got Hampton, Obradovich, Kalswoski, and Mark Carmen. They're going to be probably upset, right? Is that what's happening here? Because I haven't been paying attention.
Yes. Well, yes. I mean, they're going to be upset anyway, because that's just kind of their nature.
Which is good. It makes for great radio.
Right. Yeah. Those guys are good guys. But yeah, currently the Broncos are up 17-9 over the Bears.
Yeah. It's hard to get excited about the Bears. Even though they had a good run, it's just hard.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of expectation going in today that I'm sure Carm will talk a lot about. But
and he may or may not be joining us. We got to see
We give Carm a big leash.
He makes us live on the edge. I mean, we got to stay in the seat of our pants here.
Exactly.
Hey, this thing called Black Friday is happening sometime soon, next week, this week.
Or already happening, depending on what retailer you talk to.
Yeah, they've been kind of, they killed this whole Black Friday thing. They just beat it up. The advertising peeps just took it and ran with it, and now it's not even really a Black Friday. It's a Black Week.
Yes.
So to speak. But did you know that spending for the thing they call Black Friday is this year anticipated going to be at around, well, let's take a stab at it. What do you think it's going to be?
I'm going to go $4 billion.
You're only $590 billion off.
Oh, wow.
So the spending for Black Friday is going to reach, they anticipate $630 billion this year, up from $608 billion in 2014.
In one day.
Yeah, this is a study from Wallet Hub. Okay. They conducted an in-depth analysis of 2015's best and worst retailers, which I'm going to share for you listeners out there, because I know you're gearing up for the week to shop. And I want to help you maximize your savings this holiday season so you could buy more gifts for people instead of spending it on, you know, overpaying for things. So here's the best 10 retailers for Black Friday where they give the best deals. Okay, so take out your pens and pencils or your iPhone, or you can go back and listen to the podcast that's up after the show if Ross isn't too busy.
it's up every day,
it's
every
up
week.
Every day, yeah. So the key stat here is that JCPenney has the highest overall discount rate at 68%. JCPenney.
68% off.
I would have not of their typical pricing, you know, per item.
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean,
and considering JCPenney, it's kind of evolved. It used to be a higher end and still to somewhat, you know, is probably above a Sears, maybe par with Macy's, wouldn't you say, or close to a Macy's, but not as high as a Bloomingdale's.
Right. Yeah, they're one of those kind of in-between, and they kind of had to redefine their identity because of that.
Yeah. So it seems here jewelry is the most discounted category at 73%, whereas computers and phones are the least discounted at 31%. So if you think you're getting a deal on a phone or a computer or something, think again. They're probably marking it up to mark it down.
Oh, sure. Now, does it elaborate as far as the study you're looking at compared to other times of the year?
No, I think they're just comparing it to other Black Fridays.
Oh, okay.
You know, throughout the years. Let's see. The number 10 will work backwards. You know JCPenney is your top. But Office Depot and Office Max offer a 43% discount compared to normal pricing. Myers or Fred Meyer. Is it called Fred Meyer or is it Myers?
I've only ever seen Myers, but right. I mean, there may be a guy named Fred Meyer
probably,
who's a fan.
Yeah, holding company or something. 45% discounts there. That's pretty deep. Panasonic overall is 47% for Panasonic product. Kmart, which is a Sears-owned brand. I don't even know if they have many Kmarts left around.
There's a few.
50% is where they're at for Black Friday. Macy's is 56% if you're a Macy's fan. Belk, don't know if we have that here. What's a Belk? Anyway, they're at 60%. Groupon gives a 64% discount. How is Groupon doing these days? Anyone know?
I don't know. I would have to look up to it. I mean, it's
they had
it
some
exploded,
rocky road.
Then they hit some rocky road and
leveled.
Yeah, because I think people got so used to getting, you know, insane deals that it started hurting Groupon's business model.
Yeah, that's interesting. It goes to show you, you know, the great idea starts off great, and then all of a sudden, if you don't have the backup, you know, ideas and next phases and all this stuff, things can actually not work as well.
Yeah, and then you have to, you know, go work in radio.
Especially when you're taking, yeah, right?
Right.
Exactly. Thus, here we are. Number two, this list is Kohl's, believe it or not. 67%.
Now,
down from their normal pricing.
Now, that's particularly surprising to me because my friend John DeCoss, who's regularly on my show, he talks about how Kohl's, you know, boasts with their discounts, but it's their prices.
Yeah.
You know, so they could say it's 99% off, but they could have sold it for whatever they wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
We were just having this debate, me and my wife. Is Kohl's really a good deal?
Right.
Or is it just a big scam?
Now, do they still allow for, hey, I have this piece of paper that says Kohl's on it, so clearly it's a coupon? And can you give me money off?
On top of their 67% discount?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I like, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond does a good discount around this time of the year, like 20% off or something like that is always good. I like TJ Maxx and good, you know, Home Goods. I think their pricing is pretty fair. I like their furniture options there, believe it or not. I know probably a lot of people don't shop for furniture and Home Goods, but they do have a really unique and eclectic selection.
That's cool.
At good pricing. You know, so it may not be the, you know, the top quality furniture design that you might get with like an Anderson or, you know, Broyhill or something like that, but it's certainly they're good product.
It's Frank Fontana approved.
Yeah, you know, for a quick, easy, you know, pop of something, a little piece that'll make a nook seem better, and you know, at least you're not standing on it. I think it's okay.
Good to know.
And we got a text earlier from the 773. Frank, where can I find product innovations in home improvement, locks, faucets, flooring, and doors, for example? You know, it depends where you're looking for. You know, obviously visiting my website at any time, frankfontana.net, is always a good idea. I have links to different companies. But, you know, you're pointing out very separate categories here with faucets. I love Kohler. You can go to Kohler.com and check out the latest and greatest. I think they're innovators in their category. Flooring, I can tell you this. I'm digging some new variety of vinyl flooring that's out there. A friend of mine is connected with this distributor out of Europe, and the product that they're outputting in vinyl, wood flooring looks and stone looks in vinyl, would blow your mind. And why I like it, preferably for basements or high traffic areas, is that, A, you're getting the look of just as good, if not better, than real wood. It blows away laminate in the sense that the durability factor is there. A lot of these are coming gravity-based, so that you don't even need product to lay them. You're basically just laying them down, and they're heavy enough, and they kind of suction to the floor, some of them the way they're designed, that you could just cut them to size and place them. And then if you happen to get sick of the look 10 years later, 5 years later, you just lift them up and change them.
Really easy to replace.
Yeah. And in basements, vinyl is great because of, you know, most basements have moisture, and mm-hmm. a lot of basements unfortunately suffer from water damage. That product is something you could literally sponge off, pull up, you know, mop up underneath it, let it dry, and place it back down. So the days of replacing entire hardwood floor in the basement, or laminate in the basement, or rug, is gone if you opt for a vinyl product.
I like it.
Yeah. So let's see. The last one here was doors, for example. You know, doors are one of those things. It's like a Home Depot, Lowe's. You know, you can see what's out there. If not, there's definitely specialty categories out there. I do like the idea of recycling old doors. There's places all over Illinois that, you know, like these second, not secondhand, but they're like, there's, what is that one company? It's escaping right now, Green Depot or Builders Exchange.
Right.
You know, Builders Exchange, you can go in there and they, you know, their job is to go down and, you know, go before a building is torn down or a home torn down, they salvage whatever they can. Salvage One is another great place right here off of Grand Avenue. They had, just have cool stuff. Like, you go in there and you find an old door that you, all you have to do is chip away and repaint, and you got this funky custom door that somebody once built, you know, for a really expensive home that you could slide into your front door, and people be wowed versus, you know, doing catalog shopping for doors.
I will say, in the spirit of this texter, if you guys ever have questions like this, if you ever want to get pick Frank's brain a little bit, we always welcome that. You know, whatever you want to know is usually more well thought out than the kind of thing Frank and I plan. So,
yes,
you know, always feel free to text or call in at 312-91-7200.
Free design advice is what we do. Yeah, it's hard because we, you know, like to have a well rounded show here for all the audience.
Right.
So I could trust me, I could ramble on about design for hours, but who wants to hear that? I want to hear about
your sister-in-law.
I want to hear about your leaky gut. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll find out what Mark Carman's doing. If not, we'll keep the conversation going. As a matter of fact, if you have design questions, we'll be happy to take that here. We'll do some Thanksgiving giveaway here. And we have some prizes to give away. As a matter of fact, a couple of Lou Malinotti's gift certificates and some Lightkeeper Pros. So let's see. If you call them with your design questions, we like them. We'll give you some of these, some fine holiday gifts.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, folks. How's it going? We're in the home stretch here. Coming up after 3. We got the guys. They're not happy. They're upstairs throwing stuff. I hear crashing. I hear screaming. I don't know if it's Carmen, because he's not going to make it down here, so they're probably using Mark as a punching bag right now.
Most likely.
I can see it. Ed and Dan just bouncing him around the studio upstairs.
I mean, that's basically what we do. We just do it in a different way.
Right.
Currently 17-9 with 2:30 left to go.
Oy, jeez. That's why I don't even bother talking about him. You know what I mean? Just focus on our stuff.
Let's be clear. That's not really why we don't bother talking about that.
Right, no. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, so we're getting some texts in about some design questions and whatnot, and we'll be happy to answer your design questions in the next few minutes. 312-981-7200. Questions about the product I was mentioning, the glueless vinyl flooring, this amazing new product. The company is called FreeFit.com. It's F-R-E-E fit.com. The variety of the collection is outstanding. I have a guy, if you need it, I can give you his number now, who will install it for you. His name is John Margier. And his number, let me get it out of my Rolodex. I'm doing real-time referral here, is 815-557-4722. It's 815-557-4722. His name is John Margier. He's the one who introduced me to this product, and his company specializes in installing stuff. So if you're interested in finding out more about it, give him a call or go to freefit.com. I'm a big fan of it. You know, that and other ways to kind of cut some corners. Because listen, real wood is hardwood is fantastic. I mean, trust me.
Yeah, if you're gonna pull it off.
But let me tell you this: in today's scientific times, they've created product that is so much more durable, looks just like it. And when you have dogs, when you have kids, and you'll learn this, what you hold prized, like your beautiful hardwood floors, then become a mess.
Right, and then you regret spending money on them.
You got to restain. You got to restain. Yeah. And it's not as easy as you think to maintain hardwood floors. That's why people are really gravitating to laminate, to vinyl, just because in you know we're in practical times. Listen, if your kids are grown up, you got no pets, by all means, I will put hardwood floor in your home, no doubt. But my suggestion, to be honest with you, is get over the ego of not having real hardwood, because that's really what it comes down to, is people saying, well, I got real hardwood floors. And I say, well, you got a real headache then if you got kids and dogs.
Right.
Because you're going to go nuts if you're anything like me. You'll be on your hands and knees. And my one tip I give people, this is a very organic way to hide some of those scratches, is I take an almond, an everyday almond, right, a nut that you eat.
I'm intrigued.
And you take this almond, this one single almond, and you find that scratch, and you rub said almond briskly over the scratch for about a minute or so, maybe two.
Okay.
What happens is fascinating. It's it heals the scratch. And how it does is the heat that you're creating with the friction of rubbing activates the oils within the almond. The almond oil thus gets saturated into the cut of the wood, seeping in and basically hiding the scratch.
Whoa.
Deep stuff here, man.
If any of you have a scratch on your floor,
try it right now.
Try right now.
You've got 3 minutes to call us.
Send
it
to
us. If you do that, we will give you a gift certificate for Luminati's or give you a Lightkeeper Pro. Or if you've used that trick and you got a statement on it, I'd love to hear it. I have a couple other those little tricks.
I want to go scratch up the hardwood floor that I don't have.
To your dad's house, scratch his hardwood floor.
I did it as a kid. Might as well keep doing it.
Exactly. Right? He's not going to be mad at you. And then take an almond and try that. Another little hack that I've used throughout my DIY career is in a pinch, you know, you can use good old White Crest toothpaste as wall fill.
I did not know that.
Okay, so you know when you are sloppy, you brush your teeth, you don't put the cap on right, a little, you know, the white paste is left out.
Yes, it has started many a fight between Lauren and I.
Yeah, so what happens to it?
It gets all crusty and just
hard.
Hard it out.
So think about that. And if you're in a pinch, say you're entertaining and all of a sudden you got angry and threw something and it hit the wall, or you accidentally opened the door and it made a ding in the drywall. Well, you could technically use toothpaste to fill it in, let it dry, and give it a little light sand and prime and paint, and you're in business.
Wow.
If you don't happen to have, spackle laying around.
Right, like actual filler for
actual filler, right.
Huh.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm chock full of these little. My book is filled with all these little ideas, too.
What's your book called, Frank?
It's Dirty Little Secrets of Design. It's full of great imagery and tips and ideas on DIY projects. You can find it at Amazon.com. And we're working on a second edition of it, too. So
it'll
have all the current information that that people love. I mean, we sold out of our first run with our publisher, which is fantastic. That's why we're gearing up for a second edition. And we're going to add a couple of new chapters, additional photography, and some updated DIY projects. It's going to be a great second edition. We're pushing for right after the new year, but there's so many things going on. We hopefully will have a big announcement next week.
Oh, that's right.
That I can't share, but it's going to be huge.
Classic radio tease.
Right, and my wife's not pregnant, nor am I.
It's important to
we are done.
Important to clarify.
Two and done. That's it. We just got a text in. Let's see. Can I just buy almond oil and wipe it on the floor? I suppose, but that takes the joy out of rubbing an almond on the floor.
It's not nearly as cool.
No, because you could do it as a party, you know, right. Thing. You just kind of like bust out, like, hey, you know, it's like a little show.
Right.
Throw me an almond there, Joe, would you? And you get on your knees and you start rubbing them. And people are like, wow, you're awesome.
Before we end, if you want to call in, we got some prizes.
Yeah, let's do it. We have some text. We'll give away our text to, how about our 630 with the almond oil? Let's give them a prize.
Love it.
I love the shortcut. She just tried to hack my hack is what just happened there. And then let's see here. The toothpaste, yep, it's a good little trick there. I mean, I got a slew of these things. My brain's just fried. I do this all day. I go home and I have to do it.
Yeah.
The kids, man, they drive me to create new ways to like
clean up
fix
after them.
Stuff,
yeah.
and clean up after them.
I get that.
My daughter Lola is like a tornado. She's a 1.5-year-old tornado monster who just tears the house apart. We literally, I'm sure anybody who has a young child can relate that no matter how, especially for me, like I, as a designer, I want my house to look a certain way. I bought my furniture to look a certain way. You know, like I have a reputation to hold up. My daughter, she don't care about my reputation. She don't care about nothing but getting a veggie chip and crushing it all over the house multiple times.
Can't wait for that to be my life.
It is, but you know what? She's so damn cute. She gets away with it because she's so damn cute.
So these people that are calling in right now, they're going to win Luminati's gift cards.
That's
or
right.
A Lightkeeper Pro.
Yeah, and keep calling, folks. Even if through the show's over, Ross is going to stay for an extra hour to take your calls. He has nothing else to do today. Anyway, folks. All right, we're going to have to take a break. The guys are coming up next. The Hamp OB show with Glenn Kozlowski are going to be tearing it up, unless the Bears did something miraculous in the last 3 minutes while we were babbling here. We'll be right back.